Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the InfoWars Nightly News. Today is Tuesday, February 5th, 2013. I'm your host, Aaron Dykes. Now, coming up tonight, we're going to analyze the Super Bowl and the blatant Illuminati messages that were hidden within. We're going to break down the continued assault on our Bill of Rights and the undermining of everything America stands for. But first, let's talk about the ongoing assault against the Second Amendment, one of the most important rights of Americans, cherished, treasured, and must be defended. Now, there's been significant pushback over the weeks and months since the Sandy Hook massacre and, of course, the Batman, Colorado massacre and the other events that they've tied into the attempt to assault the Second Amendment. You saw Obama posing with the shotgun last week, trying to show he's hip with the gun culture and not coming after the guns. Now, Piers Morgan from CNN is following suit after he's used almost every moment of airtime to try to undermine the Second Amendment. He went down to just outside of Houston, Texas yesterday to tactical firearms to shoot some weapons and try to convince people that he's not so against their culture and maybe they should just listen to his, quote, reasonable approaches. Let's roll that clip now of him firing weapons at tactical firearms in Katy, Houston, Katy, Texas, just outside of Houston.
For coming out here, yeah. Let that usurper red coat scum know that they will not get our firearms ever.
Yeah.
We're here to let them know they will never tread on us ever.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Obama's up there with a shotgun doing photo ops now, and here's Morgan's doing photo ops with guns trying to trick us because the data mining companies released the data this week. We are kicking the gun grabbers' asses!
Yeah!
And we are going to continue to expose them and rout them.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you. You good?
Yeah, I hope you have me back on.
I hear you're a big customer here.
Oh, no, but some of my listeners are. They say it's the best around here.
Yeah. You good and enjoying global fame?
Oh, well, I already had quite a few listeners, but no, it certainly went viral.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we should do another interview.
We might do.
And
my ears haven't recovered yet.
Do what?
My ears haven't recovered.
Well, it was good that I had a fever and was actually sick. That's why I was sweating. Mm-hmm. I almost didn't come because of that, but I said I'd do it. That's kind of why I got it. I didn't blow up on purpose. But I thought it turned out as, you know, good for people to think about the debate.
Sure, no, everyone's talking. No problem with that.
Are you guys going live tonight?
Most of it, yeah. Maybe a couple of pre-records, but most of it's live.
Are you going to have me back on?
Well, I don't want to promote you that much, Alex.
I know, exactly. But I thought you won the debate, though. You were saying it was the best interview ever.
You said on your Twitter you wanted to shake my hand and have a civilized conversation.
Yes.
There we are.
No.
All right. Good to see you again.
You just had a civilized conversation.
I've had very civilized conversations in Texas since I've been here.
All right, well, good. We'll see. We just had a friendly talk right there.
Good to see you again.
All right, good seeing you. Good luck with the show.
Take care.
Good to see you guys. Okay, so... All right. How about we do this? Since we're going to be shooting, do you mind if these guys are going to be moving around a lot? If we're not part of the segment, we can just clear...
Yeah, I'll just step right back here.
It's totally fine.
Right.
Not during the segment, but, though. We can't have it.
All right. Those still shots.
Okay, well, that's fine. It's just the owner told me that. I thought you guys are live tonight.
We are, but we're just taping this.
Okay.
Can we just do this after?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Are you a CNN guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I thought. Where's Jeremy, the owner? He was real nice to talk to him on the phone.
Right there.
Okay, great. Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
But do you mind? Sorry. We got to get out of here.
This is like Obama shooting the shotgun.
But we can talk right
now. You're going to make everybody think you're pro-gun.
Thank you much.
Because you lost the debate. I won. Yeah. You're scared to have me back on, Pierce.
Thanks, guys.
Sorry. And if you guys really think you beat me today, you should have me back.
No, I mean, and I think that we've been trying to figure out when the best time to have you back.
Everybody has a problem.
My own issues. No doubt that we want you back. My gosh, you raised your
hand.
The
best of
the
day, all
right.
Listen,
I'm not lying. We have a list of personnel that are authorized to be in the building.
No, it's fine. Can I talk to Jeremy?
He's he's going to end up here. I have to give him a shot there.
All
right. You get a cell phone number and everything, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Just give him a call. And
yeah, I've already got what I wanted going, you know, so that little thing.
We'll head out this way.
Fantastic. Well, there you go, ladies
also,
and gentlemen.
Also, I your back crew, can you make sure that they are that they leave the premises as well because they're not on the list as well?
What are you talking about,
the
crew?
There is a crew in the back,
followers
too.
With you?
They said they
were. No, I mean, I have members of my crew, yeah. Yeah.
They had a camera, too.
But, I mean, what about the protesters?
Well, I mean, that's fine. That's just, that's not in the building.
Well,
yeah, they're not
in the building.
Well, they
no,
were,
they're
I know they were trying to get in.
Sure.
If they recall later, I
sure.
But hey, James, that was
the implication
that was,
is.
Was
hold on a second.
We usually don't allow backstage. I can send you some.
Ma'am, the implication is that we're not supposed to be here.
No, we can't go through this way. The
which one?
This one.
Back door right here.
Okay, which way? This one?
Down here. Leave.
Go on back.
Yep.
Oh, here's.
I want you to
call
him.
Come on.
Yeah.
Let's see. That's all part of that issue of playing God. That's CNN doing that.
Yeah.
Which is exactly falls in our hands.
Don't allow it. You see my building.
You guys are great. How do you guys think? It was about 500,000 viewers. They're a mirage.
Yeah.
Their whole thing is collapsing. That's why they have to be conservative song. They want our audience. Another huge victory.
So I stay in touch, okay? Let us know when next works for you.
I'm ready to do satellite.
All right.
Live.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good one.
Have a good one.
Hey, they said you guys were trying to get in the building. Is that true?
No, that was already there. No, me and another fan wanted
to. Okay, good. Here's Paul Revere.
Hey, 13-year listener, first-time caller, but this was necessary, and I knew Alex was close enough to make it, and he made it just in time. Thank you, Alex.
Woo! Thank you, brother. Yeah! Constitution. I support the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Third, the Fourth, the Fifth, the Sixth, the Seventh, the Eighth, the Tenth, all the way up. I mean, I support our Bill of Rights. That is the most important thing in our country, and it's all under attack. And if they can get the Second Amendment, they can get it all. I mean, as I said on CNN, Hitler took the guns, Stalin took the guns, Mao took the guns, Fidel Castro took the guns. These authoritarians know political power goes out of the barrel of a gun. And if we only let the government have the guns, we are in a tyranny.
And that red coat usurper, Piers Morgan, is here to demonize the Second Amendment and register our guns and take them. Never forget that this is their goal, the UN stated goal, is to disarm all non-state actors. Their stated goal is the abolition of citizens owning firearms. And I want to salute the great Americans and the great Texans. Came here to Katy, Texas, outside Houston, in the prairie lands of Texas, to let the globalists know we're aware of what you're doing. These criminals have said gun owners are the new terrorists. These criminals say Homeland Security's main issue is going after us. How many times did I tell you that was coming? The whole thing was set up. The whole thing was prepared. And and you have to go for it as the Paul Revere's. Old, young, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, north, south, east, west, whether you're from Mexico or Russia or Texas, it doesn't matter. Freedom is freedom, and humanity is awakening to the glory. Gathering, it's quite tyrannical, as if we're trying to stop him from having a show. No, we're here that he understands. Don't try to take our rights. You see, Piers, let me talk to you now, Piers. You see, Piers, you're trying to take our firearms and enslave us, so we're here telling you we don't like it. What you're doing is tyrannical. What we're doing is the First Amendment, fought and paid for with blood, Piers, with blood.
I don't want to ever silence y'all. I don't want to be silenced. We have the First Amendment. That's the first one. And that's what y'all are here to do, and I love y'all's support.
Yeah! We are here not to take your speech away, but hey, he already tweeted and said we're trying to suppress his free speech, implying we're the tyrant when he's trying to take our basic rights and our basic liberties. That is another lie out of your mouth, Piers Morgan, you red-coat scum!
And so there's some key excerpts, some highlights from the rally we had outside of Tactical Firearms yesterday. As you saw in that video, Alex spoke to the owner, Jeremy Alcide. He was also on the radio show program this morning. And as usual, it was great to meet all the supporters and have people standing up politically using the First Amendment to fight for the Second Amendment. And it's been such a rally cry across the country. The gun grabbers have heard from the people, and they know they don't want gun control, so they're fading they're feigning defeat, that is, acting like they've lost the battle, kind of halfway embracing the gun culture. They'll be back, though, whenever another event is staged or when they find another tragedy they can climb on the backs of and exploit, as Rahm Emanuel called for. But here's just a little juicy tidbit of Piers Morgan firing weapons during his CNN program shoot yesterday, which, again, they lied about and said was going to be live and misled the owner of Tactical Firearms and then later edited him to look strange. We're live right now, by the way. Let's go to that clip.
But that, I understand, because it was made before 1986 and the last assault weapons ban, that is a
legal
weapon
to purchase.
Why would any civilian need one of these?
This is an investment. I purchased one of these a while back for about $1,200 and sold it for $12,000 and sold it for $45,000.
And again, there's been such an outcry about the shameful and disgusting moves to restrict the Second Amendment, which, of course, you know, shall not be a fringe, that the gun grabbers have had to repel, have had to make strategic retreat until they can put out a new propaganda line. But meanwhile, is there a covert purge going on? We've already seen how Navy SEALs are a hazard to the lies being sold by the administration. Remember, right after the bin Laden raid, some 20 Navy SEALs just coincidentally died in a helicopter crash. Now there's the death of Navy SEAL Chris Kyle, who of course was promoted by the system and the establishment, touted in the media as a big spokesperson for the pro-war factions and what have you. But in the more recent weeks, he's come forward to completely defend the Second Amendment. He set up his own organization to try to encourage teachers to be trained and armed so they could potentially protect children in a school shooting. And now he has wound up dead. Of course, you heard about that story in the past couple of days, but this morning, Paul Joseph Watson published his article about how a U.S. Marine, an active Marine, came forward to challenge the official narrative and warn us that there might be more to the Chris Kyle murder. That's because he knew the alleged killer, Eddie Ray Ruth, and says there's really no reason he should have suffered from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, because he never saw active combat, and while he was in the service. He was only a mechanic and only would have seen the lightest of any kind of things and, quote, never went beyond the wire. And so they really don't know why he would have been considered to have PTSD. Perhaps he may have fabricated his experiences to Chris Kyle to get close to him, or maybe there's quite a bit more to the story. Hopefully that will all come out. We've got to talk about these things. We've got to expose false flags and covert murders if they're going on. And of course, we have to continue to stand up for the Second Amendment. But we have this exclusive photo from the Marine, and he otherwise gave us credentials to show that he really was who he said he was, and that indeed he served alongside of Eddie Ray Ruth, and just that it doesn't make sense that he would have been suffering from PTSD and then just flown off the handle and started killing someone. Meanwhile, we're seeing more of the kind of tactics we saw in the 8 years of the Bush administration, where they shoved the war on terror down our throats and told us they had to use the Constitution and Bill of Rights to clean up the mess, that those things were expendable in the name of safety. The very thing, of course, that Benjamin Franklin and other founding fathers warned us not to succumb to. Eric Holder and the Department of Justice have told us it's, quote, legal to kill Americans with drones. Well, after the fact of targeting Anwar al-Awlaki and his 16-year son in Yemen, both United States citizens, they've now published a white paper outlining how it's supposedly legal to extrajudicially kill American citizens abroad. And what they're doing is many-fold. A, they're trying to legitimize their unconstitutional actions retrospectively, very much like John Yoo and the others in the Bush administration did with their infamous torture memo, justifying the fact that they could go and just put electrodes on people's private parts or invade homes or use children as leverage and collateral to get supposed suspected al-Qaeda members to talk. And they're saying it's completely legal to just send a drone over and target bomb suspected al-Qaeda members. No proof, no due process, no Bill of Rights, no questionings, no hearings, no need even for evidence. All you need is for a senior military officer just to say that, yes, there's reason to believe he might be an al-Qaeda suspect, and bombs away. What they're also doing is trying to legitimize the killing of Americans right here on American soil. They've already deployed the drones. They've already phased them in and conditioned us to accept them. Now they're producing white papers explaining why they don't have to have evidence or due process. Really scary stuff, disgusting, completely unconstitutional. There's more than one reason Eric Holder needs to be held in contempt and impeached from office and indeed put in prison. Meanwhile, Janet Napolitano, head of Homeland Security, is doing her job to further debase the United States of America. A new Senate plan would give Napolitano the final say on border security. That's a report coming out of thehill.com, and it's also in Yahoo News and the mainstream wires and the AP, about how under the bipartisan Senate framework for amnesty and illegal immigration reform, Janet Napolitano would have the final say over whether the border is secure enough to put 11 million immigrants on the path to citizenship. And she alone would have responsibility for judging the metrics of border security. Well, we already know they want to introduce more and more biometrics at the border. They want to ramp it up all the way to iris scans and beyond. Who knows, maybe someday they'll be asking for blood samples. Meanwhile, they want to maintain that 50 to 100 mile border zone that they say is constitution free, where they claim they could stop people with no reason and search their cars, their vehicles, their possessions, in spite of trampling upon the Fourth Amendment. And we know that Janet Napolitano has been promised higher office. They've even mentioned her in articles out this week about how she's a potential candidate for president, how she may even be a Supreme Court justice, and she's just repugnant. Repugnant, disgusting, repugnant to the Constitution. She doesn't stand up for anything. Homeland Security was put in place to occupy and debase America, to trample its rights and prepare to clamp down on the American citizens, starting with the dissidents who speak back. That's why we all have to speak out right now about the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the First Amendment, due process, all of our rights, and tell them to stop that all of our Bill of Rights, guaranteed under the Constitution, given by God, and recognized by our wise founders, are the line in the sand. All of them, all or nothing. Get away from them. Repugnant. Turning to eugenics, Breitbart put out a report on a new book, What to Expect When No One's Expecting, discussing America's coming demographic disaster. And they break down the 50, 60 years of family planning, primarily pushed by the Rockefeller Foundation and its other entities, including the Population Council, also pushed through the United Nations through organizations like the UN UNESCO program, through the United Nations Population Fund, and of course through other private groups, the Ford Foundation among them, as well as Planned Parenthood, who provide money for supposed reproductive rights and reproductive health in all the third world countries. Now this report calls it the left's dream, the liberals. We know it isn't that, it's the eugenicist dream, and they explain how under Lyndon Johnson, the Food for Peace Act was started, where they would use USAID, the Agency for International Development, to dangle food donations over the third world to induce them into going along with family planning, with eugenics reduction targets, the one-child policy where they can get it, softer targets where they couldn't get it. In countries like India, they impose forced sterilization. People have been killed and maimed, indigenous populations wiped out, a lot of horrible stuff, all while people like Paul Ehrlich and John P. Holdren scaremonger the American population about the population bomb that never came. They said resources would deplete and that we had outgrow our ability to survive. They even produced this family planning clip, which will tie into the larger discussion we're going to have on how they condition us through the television and the media to accept the top-down control, the draconian measures. Here's a clip that Disney produced for the Rockefeller's Population Council in 1967, scaremongering about family planning.
This upward rise is being slowed by the sheer weight of numbers, that in time, more and more children are born. With this many mouths to feed, there won't be enough to go around. Of course, there will be no money for modern conveniences. The mother will have too much to do. She'll be tired and cross, and her health will suffer. The children will be sickly and unhappy, with little hope for the future.
So that famous from one of the leading propaganda firms that targets children have put out this piece for adults to trick their mind into accepting it, tell them they'll face poverty, that their lives will be miserable if they don't do this. Meanwhile, what's really happening is this demographic fall off where there's not enough people to take care of the aging population, which sets the scene just perfectly for more dependence on government. We're entering the age of Obamacare, and now the elderly won't have enough children to financially support them. The children are tuned into media, culture, TV, don't care about their parents. And so they'll be putting into nurse homes, they'll be put into nursing homes, and they'll be phased out under eugenics, under Obamacare, under the death panels, and no one really will care. It really sets the scene for a larger depopulation, more dependence on government, and a total debasement of this country. And it is just fitting with another Urian Meson report. He, of course, has been on the cutting edge of a lot of this eugenics information, reporting exclusively for InfoWars.com on the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, how they bought off evangelicals, mayors, governors, other leaders for the earth. And, of course, the Rockefeller family in general has been the largest promoter of eugenics. But under the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, they use their grants, their donations, etc., just in the period of 2005 to 2010 to push for acceptance of Agenda 21, the goals set by the 1992 Earth Summit, to push for the IPCC and the acceptance of the global warming climate change lie, and to push for this whole green culture. And those who weren't ready to go along with family planning, those who didn't believe in climate change, those who didn't want to be part of this, were given grants, given money to get along with the program. And it's very fitting with Edward Bernays and the social conditioning, the propaganda formula, to just buy off the leaders and use that to convince the masses to go along with the agenda. And we see, fitting in with that, how the power of TV in the London Independent, how watching 20 hours of TV halves the sperm count, and it fits right in. It's a behavioral thing. It's mainly having to do with the sedentary lifestyle, yet you see the results of that behavior fitting with the eugenics propaganda and the general cultural programming. Sit in front of your babysitter and watch the world slip away. Of course, the Super Bowl occurred this past Sunday, the Super Bowl, the mass cultural brainwashing event where they get everyone to tune in and just celebrate this domination of sports, culture, bread and circuses. Melissa Melton has a special report breaking all this down and why we saw Illuminati symbolism during the halftime performance with Beyonce and why the lights went out.
I'm Melissa Melton reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. The day after the Super Bowl, the top story on Yahoo.com was, did Beyonce flash an Illuminati sign? Next to a picture of Beyonce making a pyramid hand symbol, the article goes on to say, according to legend, the Illuminati are a tiny super secret cabal of influential individuals who have shaped the course of world events. So it makes perfect sense that Beyonce would flash their triangle sign to one of the largest viewing audiences in human history. What better way to preserve a secret? That's a definite possibility. Founded by Bavarian professor of law Adam Weishaupt in 1776, the Illuminati is considered the most notorious secret society, a sect bent on manipulating reality and dominating through a world government. These so-called illuminated ones have been referred to by some as Satan's elite, whom they worship. Their symbol is a pyramid to illustrate the idea of a top-down societal control system, and the pyramid features an all-seeing eye, or the eye of Lucifer. InfoWars has reported extensively on the history of the Illuminati, their birthplace, their prevalence in popular culture, music, movies, and their intent to dominate the world. While the article's language seems to sarcastically play off Beyonce's hand gesture as no big deal, this isn't the first time we've seen questionable symbolism at the Super Bowl.
Look at these screenshots we've got from last night's Super Bowl performance by Madonna. And then you can also Google image search for yourself and type in Baphomet. And of course, we see that Madonna is dressed up as Baphomet. She's sitting on the throne of Baphomet. She's got the horns. Later on, she's got the hand gestures of Baphomet. This is the idol that the American people during Super Bowl halftime show are being told to worship. So, who's Baphomet? Baphomet is an idol used by Satanists to represent the devil.
This also isn't the first time we've seen questionable symbolism from Beyonce. The pagan deity Baphomet, a figure revived in the 19th century as an idol for Satan worship, has been prominently featured in her videos and album artwork, and she even wears a Baphomet ring. And Beyonce isn't the only music star by far who's been called out for having hidden symbolism in her videos. The Yahoo article claims that Beyonce is merely supporting her husband's record label, but if this symbol is a diamond and not a pyramid, why are he, Beyonce, and other stars seen looking through it with one eye? In addition, let's analyze this shirt sold under Jay-Z's clothing label. It again depicts the pyramid hand symbol with the all-seeing eye atop it, and 13 rays of light coming out of the sides, encircled by a serpent and other smaller symbols with the tagline, Masters of the Craft, at the bottom. Jay-Z has also had some interesting critiques of hidden messages in his music as well.
Jay-Z, H to the Izzo, V to the Izze, Jehovah God, that's what he calls himself. We just happened to come across a very disturbing song by Brother Jay-Z and has a backwards message in it, and we had to reverse the song and play the song backwards.
666 murder Jesus 666.
And the rapper has gone on record wondering why people have linked him to devil worship and the Illuminati. When asked by radio personality Angie Martinez if these rumors of deliberately adding images to his videos were true, Jay-Z responded, "No, never done that before. Why would I do that? That's retarded." But here's a clip of another interview where Jay-Z actually admits he hides messages in his music.
And then I start doing, these different, hidden messages in the music, just as that replaced, the technical aspect of it. And then it's just, you know, evolved from there.
The Super Bowl aside, we've seen other curious eye symbolism at major events.
At the one-year anniversary of 9/11, the band marched out onto Ground Zero in what appeared to be an all-seeing eye formation. Are all of these mere coincidences?
Many people ask, if the Illuminati is such a super-secret cabal and they're so devious, why are they openly hiding their symbols in plain sight?
In his book Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare, Michael Hoffman II calls this revelation of the method, or advertising one's power openly to amplify it, gloating and flaunting the idea that resistance is futile before an unsuspecting public.
Are all of these established Illuminati symbols supposed to acclimate people subconsciously to a darker agenda, or are we really supposed to believe that all-seeing eyes and pyramids and Baphomet costumes are going to be the new theme for the Super Bowl every year? And what is the average person supposed to think about this continuous symbolism inundation? Or is the truth that they're not supposed to think at all, but just go along with their regularly scheduled programming? I mean, how many coincidences can you have before it's not a coincidence anymore?
These are overt messages of elite domination by a covert group parading a pageant of mass conditioning before the public in a culture dominated by television at a sporting event watched by millions every year. And many do not even realize what's happening. If it doesn't mean anything, why is it there? For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm Melissa Melton.
And that's an excellent report. So why are we seeing this manifestation of clearly Masonic, Illuminati, secret society images? Well, this is a mass cultural rite. It has all the trappings of a religious pageant. But instead of being Christmas, instead of being Easter, the festivities of other religions, this is the modern day social engineering religious rite where they ask everyone to come together, clear their schedule, make a special get together for the Super Bowl, tune in to a maximum audience event. And it's a focus point for this top-down symbolism, which is manifest covertly. That's right. The masses of people are not supposed to catch on what these symbols mean. They're supposed to think about them primarily subconsciously, where it affects them almost like a wound. And then as they continue watching TV through the days, through the hours, they see different varieties of these symbols reappear, and they affect them subconsciously. People like Carl Jung explain how that affects the archetypes and what that does to human behavior, emotional response, and our thinking and development. It has a profound effect. And it's this whole perfect storm where the population has learned to love bread and circuses, and particularly has learned to admire the celebrities they see on television who proceed over these events. People like Madonna, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, but the other normal performers as well, the people in Hollywood, and those people are on the inside circle. They have privileged get-togethers, special parties where they feel included and want to climb the power structure, and thus they're invited to secret societies, places like Bohemian Grove, or the other types of secret societies, for the politicians, Bilderberg, and this is the continuation of the Illuminati system. Black entertainers and black spokespeople have the Boule, the secret society that's allegedly connected with Skull and Bones. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff here, a lot of allegations about trauma-based mind control producing some of these celebrities, and it totally fits with this ritual, this pageant, where they display a symbol the public isn't meant to understand, and it's meant to hit them subconsciously as they respect and admire and tune into these entertainers. They're being bombarded with a message which primarily reinforces that the elite are in control, that they're at the top of the pyramid, and that their all-seeing eye is looking down upon you. We have to talk about these symbols, analyze them, decode them, break them down, and break that conditioning. We have to break out of the social conditioning, turn off the television set, and stop letting it run our lives. Now, Follow the Republic, the movie we produced with Alex Jones in 2009, covered a lot of excellent information, a lot of financial stuff, the climate change hoax, and tucked inside of it was a little nugget about the TV programming, how it affects the mind, and how they use it to manipulate the masses. It's kind of an overlooked but very important part of that movie, and I wanted to play it now in relation to the Super Bowl, in relation to this mass bread and circus ritual where we're all meant to love our own servitude. Here's that report.
It is bringing entertainment to thousands of people. Through its magic, we are able to enjoy a combination of the radio, motion pictures, and the stage right in the comfort of our own homes, simply by pushing a button and turning a dial. These cells with their electrical charges are scanned by a stream of electrons, completing 30 pictures a second.
Most people still today think that all entertainment to do with movies, drama, is there for nothing more than their entertainment. It never ever was that case.
Of course, television can't perform such miracles as this, yet. But perhaps there's no harm wishing that it could.
The greatest social messages are promoted through movies and drama, high drama, through the fixation of emotive sequences, emotional sequences, not logical, factual sequences, but pushing points across in an emotional way which register and fix in the mind. So emotional content is very, very important, rather than going through an actual discussion or an argument using logic and facts. There's no debate. And when you're being downloaded through fiction, your guard is down.
Throughout history, social engineers have refined techniques designed to control large populations.
About 100 years ago, this big organization with many branches, they wanted to rule the world, basically, using Britain as a nucleus of a system, an embryo, which also was going to be joined with the U.S. under the Anglo-American establishment. Wrote about the kind of culture and the changes of culture over a 100-year period that they would actually design, implement, and bring in. H.G. Wells talked about it too. He talked about arenas. He says arenas could be put up across the world for sports, for instance. Now, at that time, sports was something that children, school children were into. Adults became adults and got onto adult things. So it was unimaginable at the time that people could actually believe that there was even a need for adult sports and entertainment, never mind having arenas built across the world. But he said we can do this and foist basically a sports culture for the males using a tribal system. We're all tribal to an extent. That's why we even bother to vote for a tribal leader. This is well understood. That's why we're supplied with these leaders. And because the average man was to become more disengaged from his own destiny, as the expert class arose, it was decided that the males would get their outlet basically through sports. Therefore, they'd have a tribal team they could identify with, they could cheer them on as they were winning. In their own personal lives, they were getting nowhere. They were getting disenfranchised in a sense, as experts took over decision making for them in all kinds of fields. So this was psychology. Its use planned before they even implemented the sports. When radio came along, of course, they used that to the maximum. Sports for the men, soaps basically for the women. And then in came television, as I say, with its alpha state, its hypnotic state. And sure enough, around the 1960s, really, 50s and 60s, it took off. It really, really took off. And men became glued on Saturday nights to the sports shows. A culture industry, which is called by its own the culture industry. The Soviet Union had a department called the culture industry. Their actors and directors were called the cultural leaders. All you have to do is keep giving them new updates every so often, and you can change an entire country or a nation or a block of nations who are all getting the same uploads, upgrades at the same time.
They've been programmed. And I'm sad because I know that it's hard for people like that to take an interest, a serious interest in world affairs, to take a serious interest in what their elected officials are doing. And they're not going to be really inclined to study or discover the deception that's being used against them. And so I'm sad because I see all of that in a flash in my mind as being an indication of how easy it is for the masses to be manipulated.
The scientific dictatorship understands what makes human beings tick. They understand our psychology. They've studied it, and they're using it against us. But the minute the public awakens to the fact that there is an agenda to manipulate them, and the second the public realizes that they are being conditioned and controlled, the establishment begins to lose that edge they've got over people. So all I ask viewers to do is to think for themselves. and to study public relations, to study advertising, to study propaganda, and to realize how much of it is out there in their daily lives. And then make the decision for yourself. I just want people to think on their own and to not have their decisions and their thoughts and their ideas prepackaged and basically downloaded into them.
If it's on TV and a famous face says something, then it must be true. He doesn't have to show you facts or anything else. You've been brought up with these faces. That's why they keep these guys on television into their 70s and 80s. You've grown up with this father figure who's on television every night at 6 o'clock in your house, in your room, staring right at you. And he's a father figure. Would he tell you a lie? So you naturally never suspect him. Brzezinski said in Two Ages, eventually they'll be unable to think or reason for themselves. Eventually, he said, they will expect the media to do all their thinking and reasoning for them. Well, that's happened today. That's why people today can't think outside of the programming from television.
Zbigniew Brzezinski, Obama's main foreign policy advisor, talks about how a cult of personality can be artificially manufactured to influence the masses. Many of the strategies used to control populations were originally developed by Edward Bernays, who coined the phrase public relations. Bernays said that if you manufacture an authoritative figure who repeats the same messages over and over, that this will appeal to the masses' subconscious desires.
Yes, we can.
The unwashed masses will helplessly follow the leader and go along with any message they spout.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
When I was growing up, people were talking on their front porches, neighbors were playing baseball, there were nightly barbecues. You don't see that anymore. We've lost our communities. You drive through neighborhoods, you see the blue glow of television sets. We're losing our humanity. So, if you want to rebel against the globalists, the social engineers, start by turning the TV off a few hours a day and actually getting to know your neighbors. Getting outside that comfort zone. Expanding your horizons. By coming together as communities. By getting to know our neighbors. We defeat the social engineers.
And that, folks, is the essence of the InfoWar. They have tried to manufacture our consent. They have tried to shutter our minds, keep us in a tiny spectrum of thought. We must recognize the effect of mass media, the attempt to socially engineer us into annihilation, and we must say no. Spread the word, spread the truth. We turn now to our daily quote, which has some of this in mind. It comes from Winston Churchill. A lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its pants on. We'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks for watching the InfoWars Nightly News. Spread the word. Subscribe at PrisonPlanet.tv. Fight the InfoWar at PlanetInfoWars.com and never stop until we turn this thing around. Good night.